Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right. It is now Tuesday, June 19th, I believe. Yep. And here's what we got going on today. We're going to spend the show pretty much talking about teams who could take a step back. Teams who played pretty well last season, but more so won't look as good as they did last season. All right, so that's what we're going to spend the show on today. It's going to be a fun one. All right, we're going to talk about why your favorite team isn't going to be that good this season, and you're just going to have to enjoy it. Okay? So that's how it's going to go today. I mean, not really too much else going on in the world of football right now. I mean, we're still doing mini camp and all that. There's no trades or anything like that going on. Dez Bryant, for some reason, well, not for some reason, I think it's just a matter of teams want to see what they got at training camp, and then if they feel like they need a receiver, then you'll go and see Dez Bryant go sign with some team. All right, but it's just a point where, I mean, you think Dez Bryant, like, Dez Bryant's obviously going to have an agent, right? And let's assume that he does, and I'm more than likely, more than sure that he does. But, like, his agent had to have told him that there really wasn't going to be the biggest market for him out there, right? Or do you think this is something that's very surprising to Dez Bryant? I mean, how many teams are going to pay for a guy who is going to demand a decent amount of money in 1 year? All right, a guy who necessarily wasn't, at least visually, the best locker room guy. All right, got an yelling at teammates a bunch and all that. And pretty much just went scorched earth leaving the Cowboys. All right. I mean, you pretty much burned that bridge. So it's going to be very interesting to see exactly what ends up happening with Dez Bryant. Let's see, are there any other free agents that are still out there that should be signed? I think Dez Bryant's the most notable one there. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, yeah, like I said, not much else going on in the world of football right now. I mean, good thing we've stayed relatively injury-free so far in minicamp. Of course, Hunter Henry, I think, was a casualty in OTAs when he blew his knee out. That one hurt a bit, just given the fact that I thought Hunter Henry was going to have a real big breakout season this year. Thought he was going to pretty much insert himself as far as being a top five tight end. But nonetheless, I don't think we've really had too many, like, any other injuries, like major or anything like that. So it's a plus. I mean, these guys are getting more and more athletic, and it seems like they're getting more and more hurt every year. All right, so hopefully we make the training camp in the regular season with a limited amount of injuries there. Because, I mean, last season we had David Johnson, Odell Beckham Jr., all right, who else? Carson Wentz blew out his knee. That was later on in the season, but nonetheless, I mean, he was deprived of a playoff run, even though they did win the Super Bowl. Who else am I missing? Let's see. Marshall got hurt. Let's see. Chris Thompson got hurt. From the Bears, anyone notable there? Kevin White, but he's always hurt. I can't think of the top of my head. Dalvin Cook, a guy who got injured. Okay. But nonetheless, I mean, like I said, it was a lot of injuries last season. But let's talk about some teams who I think are going to take a step back. Let's see, who made the playoffs last year in the NFC? It was the Saints, Panthers, Falcons, Rams, Vikings, Eagles. We're not necessarily going to talk about playoff teams who could take a step back, but more so just teams who look good, too. So guys who barely missed out on the playoffs. See, for the AFC, it was the Patriots, the Steelers, Jags, Titans, Chiefs, and let's see, Jags, Titans, Chiefs, yeah. Am I missing anyone else? Oh, yeah, and the Bills. I completely forget that the Bills made the playoffs last year. Like, did that really happen? And that's going to be the team we start out with, all right, is the Buffalo Bills. But nonetheless, you don't really look at them as far as being a team who made the playoffs. And maybe that's just the fact that they played so poorly in that game against Jacksonville. All right, but nonetheless, I mean, I don't really see them as far as being a good team at all. I don't think they could get back there. I really, truly think that Tyrod Taylor was one of the biggest reasons why they made the playoffs. All right, and I don't understand why Tyrod Taylor isn't thought of as far as being a decent quarterback. All right? Why is it that he takes a team to the playoffs for the first time in 21 years, okay, with virtually no receiver help, and just LeSean McCoy to throw to and hand the ball off a bunch of times? Like, why is he not regarded as a decent quarterback? Like, I'm not saying put him as a top 10 quarterback or whatnot, but nonetheless, the guy does well to keep teams in it, not turn the ball over. Isn't that what you want? It's basically what Sam Bradford does. All right? Tyrod Taylor is basically Sam Bradford, but I say better. Sam Bradford continues to get a job, continues to get big money contracts, meaning 20 mil a year and whatnot. They're all 1 year deals and all that, but nonetheless, I'll take a solid 15 to 20 mil a year with a bunch of different teams each year. Why not? Okay? But I'd say, yeah, Tyrod Taylor and Sam Bradford, I don't see a difference there, except Tyrod Taylor can run the ball, take off with the ball, and I'd say that Tyrod Taylor is better than Sam Bradford. All right, but nonetheless, Bills thought, you know what, we need a better quarterback, so they got rid of him, ended up bringing in A.J. McCarron. I mean, are you really going to tell me that A.J. McCarron is the guy to warm up the quarterback spot until Josh Allen's ready? I mean, you could have just threw Tyrod Taylor out there, all right, and waited until Josh Allen was ready. But of course, you would have paid Tyrod, what, like 7 mil this year because of his option? The Bills did pick up his option, but I think that now goes to the Browns, given the fact that they now own his contract. All right, but I mean, as far as the Bills go, I mean, do we even see them being the second best team in their division? All right, would you say they're better than Miami? I wouldn't. I think Miami's a bit more set at quarterback right now. I'd say I'll give running back to the Bills. All right, as far as wide receivers, I mean, it's no contest there. Defense, I'd say it's a push right there. All right, and coaching, I'd give it to Miami. I don't like the Bills as a team. I think that they're not very good right now. And I think that they completely botched this whole quarterback thing. I'm not sure how good A.J. McCarron is going to look. We've only seen a small sample size from the guy. But nonetheless, like, as far as the Bills maybe getting back to the playoffs, I don't necessarily see that happening. All right, I don't know how it happened last year, too. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how it ended up happening. But nonetheless, I mean, yeah, Buffalo I don't really see being a very good team this season. All right, I'd see them being probably in the top 10 again of the draft again this next year. All right, and this time they're not going to be trading up. They're just going to be stuck there because they were that bad. And, I mean, I'm not completely sold on Josh Allen. All right? Obviously, he's what you want in a quarterback. He's tall. He's got a rocket arm and all. But nonetheless, I mean, look what he did over in Wyoming. Did he set the Mountain West on fire or anything like that? No, he was a very pedestrian quarterback, I'd feel, in his last season. Okay? I mean, as good as he was, he didn't really do too much. I mean, let's see. He was injured a lot, too, this past season, I feel. But nonetheless, well, not even injured. It's just he played, oh yeah, he missed a couple games due to injury, I feel. But he played 11 games this season, only completed 56% of his passes. 1,800 yards, 16 touchdowns, 6 picks. I mean, that's not necessarily great numbers there. Like, even his career over at Wyoming, okay? 2016, plays 14 games, completes 56% of his passes, 3,200 yards, 28 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. All right, next year, I already read you those stats. Those don't really jump out at me. They don't scream top 10 quarterback. Screams a quarterback that, yeah, that you draft, but in the middle rounds type of thing. Okay? But obviously, the Bills were very desperate to draft a quarterback, so they ended up going with him. And I mean, are they going to keep three quarterbacks on the roster? Are they going to go with McCarron, Allen, and Peterman? And Nathan Peterman, not necessarily the greatest thing since sliced bread for the Bills. All right, I feel like if there's an odd man out, it's definitely Nathan Peterman. Let's see, who did he play? He played with Tennessee. He played with Pittsburgh, too. All right. Then he transferred over from Tennessee to Pittsburgh. Let's look at his, let's look at Peterman's game logs. All right. For the 2017 season. So, it makes his... Let's see. When did he start? I think he... Yeah, which games did he start? He started 4 games that season? There's no way. Let me see real quick. Just so I know which ones to look at. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, Peterman had that one game with the Chargers, wasn't it, where he threw five picks. Obviously, that's not great. And yeah, he started two games, threw five interceptions. I think that, again, I think that was the Chargers game. So let's go back to the Chargers game and see exactly if it was that one. All right. But nonetheless, yeah, they play the Chargers. He throws five interceptions, completes six out of his 14 passes for 16 yards. 17.9 quarterback rating. Obviously, that's not great. All right, that's not great at all. And he started, let's see, I think it was week 13 against the Colts. They won that one. Was that the snow game? I think that was the snow game. He completed 5 out of his 10 attempts, 57 yards, 1 touchdown. So obviously Nathan Peterman not really lighting up the score sheet and all that, the box score. And I think this year with the Bills, like I said, they don't have really too much firepower on offense. There's not much for Josh Allen to work with there. So I don't see Josh Allen really playing too much. It's going to be one where they're just going to throw AJ McCarron out there with the Wolves and seeing if he survives or whatnot. All right, so it's going to be very interesting to see what ends up happening there with Buffalo. But I do think they're going to take a step back here. I think they might be, I'm not even sure if they're better than the Jets, to be honest. All right, and the Jets don't necessarily have a great squad. And I'd say the Jets ended up with the better quarterback out of the two, too. So we'll see what ends up going down. But nonetheless, yeah, like I said, the Bills aren't really going to be too good this season. I don't agree with them getting rid of Tyrod. I feel like that was their, could have been their franchise quarterback. Just give him some talent to work with. But they think otherwise. All right. First playoff appearance in 20 years, but you know what? Doesn't matter. We're going to get rid of you and send you over to Cleveland where there's a better team there. Doesn't make sense to me. All right. So we'll see what ends up going down. See if Shady McCoy can end up saving this team. See if maybe AJ McCarron could be the quarterback no one thought he was. Who knows? All right. Maybe Zay Jones plays well in the second season. Maybe Kelvin Benjamin. No, I'm not going to hold out hope for Kelvin Benjamin, but I know the Bills do got a decent defense. So we'll see what ends up going down. But we're going to wrap it up here, and we'll be moving on to a different team in the next segment. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We spent the first segment talking about the Bills. Today's show is more so about teams who are probably going to take a step back the upcoming season, not going to be as good as what they were the previous season. And yeah, we talked about the Bills. I mean, I completely forget that the Bills even made the playoffs that season. I mean, they were pretty much in and out. Lost, what, 10-3 to the Jags? Not necessarily great there. Don't have a great team. Quarterback situation, I mean, you're pretty much waiting on Josh Allen. I mean, maybe, maybe AJ McCarron is it. Who knows? Okay. But nonetheless, yeah, definitely Bills. I could see taking a step back. Also, another team is the Kansas City Chiefs. And not to the point where they're going to be bad like the Bills, but to the point where they'll probably miss out on the playoffs. All right. Obviously, we saw the Chiefs make the playoffs last year. I mean, an all-time choke job there. But what's new? It's the Chiefs. All right. They continuously do that. And they give up a big lead to the Colts, too, in the playoffs. And it's when Andrew Luck scored that one touchdown. But nonetheless, I mean, Chiefs, yeah, I could see it. Just given the fact that you're going to have basically a rookie quarterback. Of course, Mahomes is going to be in his second year, but he didn't really play at all last year except for the Week 17 game. And, I mean, you can't really judge off of that given that no one's really playing their top players. Okay? But nonetheless, I mean, do I think Mahomes could be a good quarterback? Yeah. But there's just a point of I don't really see them getting back to the playoffs. All right, they could go 8-8, and that'd be I think it'd be a positive for them, just given the fact that, like I said, Mahomes is basically a first year quarterback that's going to be starting. All right, he didn't really do much last year, and there is a lot of hype surrounding Mahomes. You saw, I think it was Sean Payton saying that if Mahomes didn't get taken by the Chiefs, then they definitely would have took him with their first pick. And I guess the Saints kind of lucked out there, given the fact that you could have had a decent quarterback if Mahomes turns out to be one, but you ended up with the defensive player of the year, Marshon Lattimore, guys, who's already regarded as far as being a top five cornerback. I mean, that's a bit ridiculous, isn't it? Not the point where he's a top five cornerback, the point where it took him about a matter of a few games to be regarded as there. All right. So we'll see. But nonetheless, like talking about the Chiefs, I mean, they still do have a decent team. The only thing that really scares me about their team is quarterback. But quarterback doesn't necessarily scare me. It's just more so a feeling of uncertainty there. Okay. Because people are going to tell you, oh, Mahomes is going to do this. Mahomes is going to do that. Mahomes is this. Mahomes is that. Okay. When in reality, they've never really seen him take meaningful snaps in the NFL. Meaningful meaning a decent game. Well, not even a decent game. Just a game that isn't at the end of the season. All right. Like week five, stuff like that. All right. No one's ever seen Mahomes play meaningful football. Meaningful football is not week 17 where all the starters are out. All right. I could care less what he did in college, given the fact that it's not the NFL. All right. And people tend to do like, oh, he did this in college. He's a great player because he did that. It doesn't matter. College, what you did in college will never matter. Okay? It won't. I don't think anyone really looks at, let's see, wasn't Tim Couch like a decent NFL quarterback? Or a decent college quarterback? Okay? Let me see. I'm almost positive. Didn't he win like the Heisman or something like that? There's someone who, let me see, let me pick the last Heisman winners, all right? And let me tell you how much that award doesn't matter, okay? But given the fact that, I mean, who cares that you won the Heisman? It's all about making it to the NFL. Isn't that the goal? Isn't it, I'd say? All right, so let's see. We'll go to the 2000s and see who since 2000 has won the Heisman. Chris Winkie? I mean, what did Chris Winkie do in the NFL? Not a thing. Eric Couch? I got it wrong. I said Tim Couch. It's Eric Couch, who I was thinking of. Didn't do anything. Carson Palmer won the Heisman. He was good. Jason White? What did he do in the NFL? Nothing. Matt Leinart? Bust. And Troy Smith? Nothing. Tebow? Out the league already. Bradford has somehow made himself a decent career in the NFL. Okay. Cam Newton has done well. Johnny Manziel only lasted a couple of years in the league. Now he's gone. All right. Let's see. Robert Griffin, backup quarterback now. That's due to injuries, though. I'll give him a pass on that one. Jameis has done pretty well for himself so far in his first 3 years. So has Marcus Mariota. All right. Now we have to wait and see what Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield do. Let's see. Let's look at past quarterback Heisman winners. All right. And like I said, they're not necessarily the best. Like I said, winning a Heisman's cool when you're in college, but other than that, once you make it out, it doesn't really mean anything. Charlie Ward didn't really do anything. Gino Toretta, not much. Not anything, actually. Ty Detmer, no. Andre Ware was, eh. All right. Vinny Testaverde had a decent little NFL career. Let's see. Oh, there was a period of time where it was just running backs winning the Heisman, like in the 70s. Let's see. From 73 to... Let's see, 73 to 83. Those were all running backs winning the Heisman. All right, but like I said, I mean, going back to Mahomes, people talk about he was a good quarterback at Texas Tech and all, but like I said, it didn't really matter. All right, what does it matter if he hasn't done anything in the NFL yet? All right, well, that's why I say the Chiefs could take a step back. I'm not really expecting him to be bad, and I do think Mahomes is going to be a decent quarterback for them this season, given the fact that you do have Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. But it's just a point where I don't think they'll be as good as last year's team. And also, too, I don't really like their defense. I don't like them trading away Marcus Peters. I don't really buy into the whole he was a locker room problem type of thing. All right, I feel like people just like they did the same thing with DeSean Jackson, except they said that they were afraid of his gang affiliations and all that, and that's why they ended up cutting him. When in reality, that hasn't been a problem for him ever in his career. It's just some terrible excuse to get rid of a guy rather than just cutting or just trading him or cutting him and just dealing with the backlash. I've never really understood it. But, I mean, looking at their team right now, like I said, at running back, you have Kareem Hunt, Spencer Ware, Charkandrick West, Damian Williams, who was a solid receiving back for the Dolphins. All right, at wide receiver, you got Chris Conley, Tyreek Hill. Not necessarily, Chris Conley's not necessarily like a big name or anything like that, but will be decent. Let's see, they drafted Josh Crockett, or they signed Josh Crockett and all that, undrafted rookie, I believe. You got Sammy Watkins, I forget that he's there now, but you got Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill. Okay, Travis Kelce, let's see, what do you got on the defense? That's what I'm most curious about. Defense doesn't necessarily look too great, okay? Drafted Breland Speaks. Let's see. Derek Nandy. Xavier Williams. D Ford, who... Has D Ford really done much since he's been out here? I mean, it's his fifth year, so I feel like he's had a, been decent for... You just never hear about D Ford, all right? And he was injured last season. Maybe that's just all it's, while it's been. He's been injured. Let's see. Doesn't start a game 2014 is rookie year. Okay. Only starts 5 2015. Starts 14 out of 15 games 2016. Had 10 sacks. But, yeah, other than that, D Ford hasn't really done too much. Okay. So, like I said, I mean, if the defense plays well this season with the guys, let's see, they drafted a bunch of guys, too, on the defensive side of the ball. Let me see exactly who they drafted here. And I know, didn't they spend, I think, all their picks on defense, too, I believe. So you take Breland Speaks with your second-round pick. They did not have a first-round pick this year. Derek Nady with their third-round pick should be decent. Second pick of the third round, you take Dorian O'Daniel, outside linebacker out of Clemson. Armani Watts, safety out of Texas A&M in the fourth round. Tremon Smith, cornerback out of Central Arkansas in the sixth round. And then second pick of the sixth round, you take Khalil McKenzie, defensive tackle out of Tennessee. So, I mean, they really went defensive heavy in this draft. Obviously, no offensive players. But it's just a point where I just don't think the Chiefs are going to be as good as last year. They'll be a decent team and whatnot. They'll be in the hunt. They'll be a 7-8 win team. But it's just a point where I want to see what Mahomes can do first, and I want to see what that defense does. Obviously, we know what Kelce, Kareem Hunt, and Hill can do. So they have talent. It's just a matter of waiting and seeing type of thing. All right, so it'll be real interesting with the Chiefs. I mean, plus they play in a difficult division. All right. The Chargers should be way better. I think the Chargers are going to win the division this year. I think they got probably the most complete team in the AFC West. The Broncos should be better given the fact that they finally have a decent quarterback. At least I hope so. All right. Case Keenum did play well with the Vikings, but given that was his only good season so far in his career. Raiders, I have no clue what the Raiders are going to look like this season. They could either be good or they could be really, really bad. All right. It's just a matter of what the mad scientist John Gruden's got cooking up over there with the Raiders. All right. Seems like he was trying to take it back a bit. But that necessarily isn't the greatest thing. Normally, you want to go forward rather than going back. All right. He's not an analytics guy. He's not a technology guy. So we'll see what ends up going down there. All right. But like I said, I mean, the Chiefs could be decent, should be decent, won't make the playoffs, I think. And I think that's fair to say. Okay. Given the fact that, like I said, Mahomes hasn't really taken any meaningful snaps. And as far as the rest of that division, like I said, Chargers were, for me, most complete team in that division. I think they're the best team in that division. And I think maybe this could be a year where they finally make some noise in the playoffs. I mean, Phillip Rivers has never really been a great playoff performer. I think he's, 4-6 in the playoffs? All right, but nonetheless, I mean, who knows? Maybe the Chargers make it to the Super Bowl? Possibly. So we'll see what ends up going down there. But like I said, I think Mahomes is going to be a decent quarterback, but I think he'll really elevate himself in the next future, right? This year, I don't think they'll make the playoffs, so we'll see what ends up going down, but we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we'll be talking about another team, so stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far, we've talked about the Chiefs and the Bills. Talking about teams who could take a step back. Bills, I think, are going to be a bad team. Chiefs, I just think, are going to be a team who miss out on the playoffs this year, aren't as good as the year before. Okay. And what excites you about the Seahawks? Okay. Seahawks were a team who didn't make the playoffs next year, but nonetheless, I do think that they could be a little bit worse off compared to last season. But tell me, what excites you about Seattle besides Russell Wilson? What exactly do they have there to the where you're like, you know what, this team could do some damage this season? All right. I don't necessarily know. They finished 9-7 last year. I mean, could you see them going 9-7 this year? Could you see them going 10-6? Doesn't 9-7 seem kind of out there as far as them trying to accomplish that this year? I mean, I don't know. They got rid of a lot of decent players on the defense. Seems like they're trying to go through a little cultural change and all that. And I just think it's a point where I just don't like what Seattle's got. Okay. And let's take a look at their roster real quick, and then we'll look at their draft and all. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, I don't know. They got one Super Bowl out of Russell Wilson. Could have had two. And since then, really haven't gotten back. All right, so obviously you got Russell Wilson at quarterback. Looking at the running backs, nothing excites me there. Okay, not even Rashad Penny, their first round pick. It's not necessarily the greatest thing. They, for some reason, have refused to put a decent running back out there since Marshawn Lynch left them, which I don't understand. All right, I don't understand why these teams refuse to pay running backs, refuse to scout decent running backs. They'll just throw whoever out there. I mean, it makes no sense to me, and Seattle's a team notorious for doing that. All right. Wide receiver, you got Doug Baldwin. I'd say he's decent. All right. 29, getting up there in age. You got Brandon Marshall. Dude's already 34, coming off of a season-ending injury. That was a very sneaky move there by the Seahawks, meaning that's one that's going to keep the fans happy. But I feel like, actually, I don't know. I'm not sure what I think of this Brandon Marshall signing, okay? Because normally I tell myself to not trust a 34-year-old receiver who is coming off of a season-ending injury and hasn't really performed the last couple of years, all right, except for that 2015 year, which was, what, 3-4 seasons ago now, for including this upcoming one, all right? But, of course, you do have Russell Wilson, all right? Russell Wilson, for me, is a top 5 quarterback. But can Brandon Marshall do a job? All right, can he still produce? I'm not too positive there, okay? Like I said, past history tells us you don't trust the old receiver coming off of a season-ending injury, okay? And I'm just not entirely sure about Brandon Marshall. Like, I have no clue how well he's going to do this season or if he's even going to do well. All right, but would you consider Brandon Marshall a Hall of Famer? I'm not. We did this with Phillip Rivers yesterday, but with Brandon Marshall, I mean, there was points in time where he was a top 5 receiver in the league. Okay, the only problem with Brandon Marshall is the guy's never played in the playoffs. Okay, 6-time Pro Bowler, 1-time All-Pro. He just played for bad teams his whole career. Denver, they were bad when he was there, I feel. Miami didn't have a quarterback to throw to him. All right, but nonetheless, still put up 1,000-yard receiving seasons there. We were in Chicago, he was playing with Jay Cutler. You know how difficult that is. All right, then he goes to the Jets where Ryan Fitzpatrick is their guy. I mean, the dude's never really played with a truly great quarterback. It's been Jay Cutler. I think it was Chad Henne who was his quarterback in 2011, 2012. I mean, come on now. All right. Looking at his stats, I mean, 1,300 yards, 2007, 1,200, 2008. The dude's always been up there as far as 1,000-yard season receiving. Let me look at his all-time numbers. Maybe that'll give us a little something there. All right. And let's see. Among active players and receptions, he's 16th all-time. Let's see. Receiving yards, he's 23rd all time. Receiving touchdowns, he's 167th all time. All right. And let me see, like, as far as, we kind of turn this into a Brandon Marshall segment, but let me see exactly where he is among guys who, have made the Hall of Fame. All right. So let's look real quick. We'll go all time receiving leaders here. Let's see. That's only giving me the top 10. I want to see the whole list. Let me see. Let me go to Pro Football Reference. It's a much better website. Let's see. So as far as receiving yards, Brandon Marshall, what did I say was? What did I say Brandon Marshall was? I had 23rd. He's ahead of Charlie Joyner. All right. Who is a Hall of Famer. He's ahead of Michael Irvin, who is a Hall of Famer. He's ahead of Don Maynard, who's a Hall of Famer. Lance Allworth, who was a Hall of Famer, but Lance Allworth played like way back when. Shannon Sharp, but he's a tight end. Raymond Berry, but he played way back when. Charlie Taylor, but he played way back when. Fred Biletnikoff played way back when. So, I mean, it's not looking great. There's not too many like guys who played recently, meaning like maybe in the early 2000s or even in the late 90s that are behind him. All right, guys like Hines Ward's behind him. He's not. I wouldn't say that Hines Ward is a Hall of Famer. Derek Mason, would you say that he's a Hall of Famer? No. And with Michael Irvin, I mean, he had his career cut short. Dude, I think it was a career-ending injury, wasn't it? All right, let's see. Musa Muhammad's behind him. I wouldn't even say that's a Hall of Famer. Rod Smith? No. Keenan McCardell? It's not looking great for him there. All right, let's see as far as receptions, who he's in front of. All right, what did I say he was? He's 16th there. So ahead of Andre Reed. That helps him a bit. Art Monk, it helps him a tiny bit. I mean, Steve Largent. Marshall Faulk is 34th all-time in receptions. That is ridiculous. I did not know that. All right. Wow, that's actually kind of... He's 34th all-time in receptions. He's ahead of Chad Johnson, Irvin, Donald Driver, Santana Moss, Megatron. Megatron's career got cut short there. I'm still pretty mad about that. I don't like you, Detroit. That's crazy. But look at that. I don't think Brandon Marshall's a Hall of Famer. All right, he's the guys he's in front of, like the guys that are Hall of Famers that he's in front of. I mean, those are guys that became Hall of Famers way back when. I mean, these record books were small. Okay. So I guess Brandon Marshall wasn't a Hall of Famer. But getting back to the Seahawks, all right, getting back on topic. I just don't like what they got out there. All right. They could be a decent team, but it's, I don't know, actually. Like, 9 wins, I think, is the most they could end up with. And even then, so that's going to be tough, given that they play in a very tough NFC. All right. They brought in Ed Dixon, tight end from the Panthers. I'm not sure how much I like that one. Got rid of Jimmy Graham. Okay. Ed Dixon, I'm assuming, is going to be their starter. Offensive line's always been shaky. Looking at the defense, I mean, not too much going on there. Okay. Like I said, got rid of a lot of guys and more so looking at these younger guys to step up. All right. Let's see. Shaquille Griffin, a guy they're expecting to maybe take over for Richard Sherman. That's going to be tough. Byron Maxwell, not the greatest cornerback. I mean, their best player on defense is Earl Thomas. We're not even sure how long he's going to be with that team. Cam Chancellor, obviously, but Cam Chancellor might not even play given the fact of a season-ending injury. All right, I think they got rid of Cliff Averill. He's done with that team. Bobby Wagner, at least one of the best linebackers in the league. You still got him. KJ Wright's a decent linebacker. I do like their linebackers, but as far as everything else, it's not necessarily great. All right, so as far as Seahawks defense, it's going to get worse, I feel, and offense isn't really that great. No true great running backs. I mean, maybe Rashad Penny could be a decent one. All right, but it's just, it doesn't, there's nothing that jumps out there with me with Seattle. It's just a matter of the only way they're a decent team this season is if Russell Wilson basically puts the team on his back and pretty much elevates everyone else around him, which he could do. I'll give him that. But, I mean, it's, I'm grasping for straws here with Seattle. All right, I really do think they're going to take a step back. I don't think they'll be 9-7. I think I picked their schedule a couple weeks ago when we were talking about each team. I think I had them going, what, 8-8? All right.
Maybe I had him winning a couple more games, but like at this point in time, like I said, I mean, as far as records and all that, it doesn't matter what I'm picking 2 weeks ago. It's all going to change. All right, but I got him going like 8-8, maybe a 7-9 type of team. It's just going to be tough. I mean, look at their schedule too and see exactly their tough teams. I'm not going to go game by game again how I did, but Denver's going to be tough. Dallas is going to be tough. You got to play the Rams twice. The 49ers are going to be better. The Cardinals should be good. Chargers are going to be tough. Packers is going to be tough. Panthers are going to be tough. Vikings. So, yeah, they got a lot of very difficult games out here. All right, so it's not necessarily shaping up to be a great season for the Seahawks, at least from my view. All right, of course, Russell Wilson is a great quarterback, and he could elevate the guys around him, but it's just the point where he's going to have to do a lot of elevating if they're going to do anything this season. Like, I don't see him being a perennial playoff team, like a great playoff team or anything like that. I don't see them making the Super Bowl or anything. Maybe it's just a tiny mini rebuild for a couple years, and the next year they'll be good. Who knows? All right, but we'll see about it. So we're going to wrap it up here. And next up, we'll be talking about a final team. So stay tuned for that, and I will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We've been talking about teams I think could take a step back. All right, should we talk about teams for the fourth segment that I think I could take a step forward, maybe? I think that might be a little fun thing to do right here to finish off the show. Let's talk about teams I think are going to be better this year. Let's do that. All right, I'm sorry, Seahawks fans, Chiefs, not even Chiefs fans. I don't even apologize to Chiefs fans. I think you guys are going to be decent. It's just I think that you're not going to be as good as you were this past season. I like Mahomes. I think he'll be decent. I don't have a definitive answer on him just because I've never seen him play in the NFL. All right, and I don't need the guy to go light up, throw for 400 yards, four touchdowns for me to think he's going to be good. It's just a matter of just showing science, all right? Kind of like with Jimmy Garoppolo last season, okay? I wasn't really expecting Jimmy G to go out there and light the NFL up or anything like that, but just show flashes of what kind of quarterback you could be, and he did that and even more so. That's why you got that big old contract. I mean, talking about teams who should be better this year, that is the 49ers, okay? And the 49ers hype train is full force right now, but I don't think they're going to be a team that makes the playoffs. Okay, I understand that last year they finished off winning six in a row, beat some decent teams, all right, beat the Jags who went to the AFC Championship, but there's a point where how much film you think they got on Jimmy G at that time? Not too much, all right? You're not really going to try and base what he was doing that season, like watch film on that season, or even see what he kind of quarterback he was over in New England. All right, now we got film of the guy. All right, about six games or so. I mean, he's only started about, what, eight games? He's won all eight of them somehow, some way. But nonetheless, all right, I do think Jimmy G is going to be a good quarterback, but I think we just got to pump the brakes a tiny bit. Okay, let's see what exactly he could do with a full season. All right, and I'm not saying he's going to be bad, but I'm just saying hold on a bit. Let's look at exactly what he did last season in those six games. Would he start six games or he start five? I think he started six. All right, so let's take a look and see what exactly Jimmy Garoppolo did. Let's look at his game logs. All right, we'll go game by game and see exactly what Garoppolo did there. That's ridiculous. I'm on Pro Football Reference looking at the stats, and he got two-time Super Bowl champ there. I mean, playing for the Patriots does definitely have his perks, I feel. So let's see. Starts Week 2 against Chicago. All right. Completes 26 out of his 37 passes, which is 70%, 293 yards and an interception. Then he plays the Texans They beat them. All right. 60% completion percentage, 334 yards, one touchdown, one pick. They beat Tennessee. All right. Let's see. They beat Tennessee. 72% completion percentage, and that one, 381 yards, one touchdown. I think that was his best game right there against Tennessee. All right. Then he goes, beats Jacksonville, throws for 242 yards, 70% completion percentage, two touchdowns, one pick. And then there was a game against the Rams where he didn't relatively, I'd say, play too well, given the fact that it was against the Rams scrubs. All right, he threw two picks against them, did throw for 292 yards, two touchdowns, 60% completion percentage. That's not necessarily great there. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, I do think he's going to be a decent quarterback for him, but I'm just saying, like, pump the brakes. Let's wait and see what he does in a full season. Okay? Let's just wait. But nonetheless, looking at their draft, he took Mike McGlinchey with the first pick, offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. I don't think there's ever been a bad pick as far as an offensive lineman out of Notre Dame, so I don't hate it. Took Dante Pettis in the second round. I'm not sure how I feel about Dante Pettis as far as him being a number one receiver, if that's their plan. All right, I think he is a decent receiver, but it's just the point where, I mean, I don't know. There's just something about Dante Pettis I just don't believe in as a number one receiver. And I just might be underestimating the guy. That's entirely possible given the fact that I'm no expert or anything like that. All right, but I guess they're going to try and implement him, be the number one guy. Took Fred Warner in the third round, inside linebacker out of BYU, Tavarius Moore, all right, safety out of Southern Miss in the third round. Southern Miss, had a bit of a lisp there. All right, then they take Kentavious Street, defensive end out of North Carolina State in the fourth round, DJ Reed in the fifth round, cornerback out of Kansas State. Sixth round they take, let me see, is that Marcel Harris? I see, that is Marcel Harris, safety out of Florida. Seventh round, you take Julian Taylor, defensive tackle out of Temple. And the second pick of the final pick of the seventh round, you take Richie James, wide receiver out of Middle Tennessee. All right. Looking at this 49ers team, what scares me is that they don't really have a true number one receiver. All right. And like I said, I'm not sure if they're going to be making Dante Pettis that guy. But even then, so at Washington, he never screamed number one receiver at me. Okay. Pierre Garçon has never been the number one guy, so why would on earth would anyone expect him to be the number one guy for the 49ers? Neither is Marquise Goodwin. Like, you can't expect player like Pierre Garçon's played 11 years, Marquise Goodwin's played 6. You can't expect these guys to change up what they've done when they've done the same thing over their career. All right, Garçon's 11 years in. If he was a number one receiver, we would have saw it already. Same with Goodwin. All right, so that's why I think they're going to be trying to do it with Dante Pettis. Like I said, with him at Washington, you never really screamed number one receiver at me. Okay, I do like Garrett Celek. I like George Kittle. I think Trent Taylor is going to be a decent receiver. All right, and his was going to be his second year, I believe. Our offensive line, they get pretty decent. As far as the defense, I like the defense. They're very young. I kind of put them in the same range as like Chicago. Cleveland's got a real young defense. Who else? I think there's another team I've been talking about, but nonetheless, those three teams, defenses who aren't going to be necessarily top 10 or anything like that, but with the right development will eventually be there. Okay. I mean, guys like Eric Armstead there, DeForest Buckner. Okay. Let's see. Solomon Thomas, who they drafted last year, going to be coming into his second season. Earl Mitchell, I think, has done fine for them. He's always been a nice little run stopper. Reuben Foster, who seems like he's finally got everything back straight. Malcolm Smith's been, always been a decent guy out there. All right. Guy you need to stay healthy. Not always, but I mean, Richard Sherman, I'm not sure how I feel about Richard Sherman. All right, 30 years old, coming off of an Achilles injury. When have you ever seen a guy 30-plus coming off an Achilles injury and play about as well as he did before? Honestly. All right, you got Jimmy Ward out there. I like Jaquiski Tartt. I think he's going to have a nice little season this upcoming year. Let's see, anyone else that I like on that defense? I'll stay there. All right. Nonetheless, I mean, yeah, San Francisco, I think they're going to be an 8-8 type of team. That's not a bad thing either. Right? You got people saying, oh, they'll make the playoffs. I've even seen some riders go as far as say they'll make the Super Bowl and all. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, honestly, you look at the 49ers, do you think they're better than the Rams? No. You think they're better than the Saints? No. They're not better than the Falcons. They're not better than the Panthers. They're not better than the Cowboys. They're not better than the Eagles. Okay? Let's see. Where do I have them as far as a team in the NFL? All right. So, like I said, I'll take the Rams over them. I will take the Falcons, Panthers, and Saints over them. I will take the Vikings over them. I will take the Cowboys over them, the Eagles. And I will take the Packers over them. Okay? So that's about 8 teams I say that are better than the 49ers right now. All right? They're about on par with Detroit. Yeah, so I'd say it's like them or Detroit after that. is the ninth best team in the NFC. Plus, you got the Giants, who are going to be better. Okay, the Cardinals should be decent this year. They went 8-8 with Blaine Gabbert and Drew Stanton finishing off the season. All right. And let's look at the 49ers schedule. Like I said, we've already looked at it before, but nonetheless, let me see exactly what difficult matchups they got going on this season. Because, I mean, if their schedule's pretty easy, then who knows? Maybe they could be decent. You got the Vikings. Tough game. Detroit's going to be tough. Chargers are going to be tough. All right. I don't see them really picking up one against the Rams. Packers is going to be tough. The Giants is not going to be an easy one. Let's see. They don't have the most difficult schedule. All right. I will give them that. They don't have the most difficult schedule. You got to play like the Chiefs. You got to play the AFC West. That division's a wild card type of thing. They're not exactly sure exactly how they're going to turn out. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, we'll see what ends up going down there. All right. As far as San Francisco, like I said, I think they'll go 8-8 this year. As far as them being a top team in the NFC, maybe within the next few years, but definitely not next year. Okay. I just don't see that happening. As far as another team who could possibly step up, just to wrap it up, let's see. I guess it'd be like Cleveland. Texans. Texans went 4-12 last year. Sean Watson should be back for week one, I feel. Or at least I think. All right. And, I mean, Deshaun Watson looked like a top 10 quarterback out there. I think Deshaun Watson looked better than Jimmy Garoppolo for what it's worth. All right. And again, I'm not trying to diss Jimmy Garoppolo or whatnot, but I'm just stating the fact out there, in my opinion, I should say. So they finished third in the AFC South. Didn't have a first-round pick. Didn't have a second-round pick. Third round, they take Justin Reed. I'm not even going to go through the entire draft. But as far as the Texans go, I mean, if Deshaun Watson could stay healthy, then I don't see a reason why they wouldn't be a whole lot better. I mean, this could be a playoff team here. J.J. Watt should be good back. He's got to stay on the field. Jadeveon Clowney had a really good season last year. Bernard McKinney, you gave him an extension. Whitney Merciless coming off of a biceps injury, a torn biceps or a torn tricep, something like that, I think it was. Should be back this season. Secondary's looking good. You added Tyrann Mathieu, who I think is going to be a very good player for this Texans team. I believe he's going to be playing safety too, so that's going to be real fun to watch again. Arizona more so had him in the nickel spot, but I think Houston's going to be having him in the safety spot. You got DeAndre Hopkins. Will Fuller obviously was a monster with Deshaun Watson. I mean, other than that, Will Fuller hasn't really looked too dangerous. You got Lamar Miller. So Texans should be a whole lot better. So I'm really looking at San Francisco and Texans as far as San Francisco and the Texans as far as teams who will step up. So we'll see about it. But nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Today we talked about the Seahawks, the Chiefs, Bills, 49ers, and Texans. All right. Thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I'll talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.